Hello, welcome to the Emmy Louie Show. I am Emmy Louie, and today's topic, we're going to talk about bamboo, my favorite topic, and we're going to talk about it until we all understand what's going on with the uses of bamboo. And my title is The Untapped Uses of Bamboo in the Modern World. Is it an answer to sustainability? And I believe it's a resounding yes. It definitely is. And in this next hour, I will tell you why it is. Because we got to look at newer and better ways to use energy in this world. Now, bamboo is not a new thing. It's definitely not new. However, it might be new to us Westerners. And, of course, I announced this to a group of people that I am very interested in talking about the uses of bamboo, specifically the structural uses of bamboo, because that that is very much not necessarily a popular subject. People are very familiar in the Western world with bamboo flooring, and that is their first introduction to bamboo. And people come up to me and they say, well, you know, I use a bamboo flooring and it's this thick and so and so. And I say, great, that's marvelous, that's a start. However, that's just one millionth or one thousandth of the possibilities of how we can use bamboo in a modern way. And when I say modern, I mean in a way that we feel is comfortable to us, that feels like it's not, let's say, quote-unquote, a poor material. And we'll talk about that later. So I'm going to tell you the reasons why we do need to use more bamboo in this world, and the properties of it, the differences between the bamboo when it's flattened out versus in its original form, the harvesting times of bamboo, the types of fasteners that can be used with bamboo, the flammability issues of bamboo, how it is used with other materials, and some of the psychological barriers that prevent us from using bamboo, as well as the whole issue of sustainability and how bamboo fits in the sustainability issues. And so that's what we're going to talk about for this next hour, you and I. And so when we talk about going back to the bamboo flooring, that is a great thing that people do use bamboo flooring. However, again, that is just a very minute one portion of the uses of bamboo. And anybody who has any kind of bamboo flooring know that bamboo itself is extremely strong. And even in its very processed form, in the flooring, it is still very strong. And I'm going to compare this with bamboo that is not as processed, that is the other end of it is in its very natural form, and meaning that in how it grows naturally is it grows in a round situation. And so that in itself is very different from bamboo flooring that has been, the bamboo has been pretty much flattened to be flat and rectilinear. When we talk about its natural state, going back to the bamboo, it grows round. And of course, each and individual bamboo is very, has its unique characteristics. And so the roundness of it actually makes it very strong. And one of the similarities between, the structure similarities between the natural form of bamboo is actually similar to our own bones. Our bones have the same, almost same type of structure as a bamboo stalk. One of the reasons why is because the nodes of the bamboo is there these horizontal points between, and they're horizontal, and then they're hollow in the bamboo. It's very similar to our own the joint of a human body, like take for instance maybe your femur bone. in your leg, where there's marrow in your femur bone, and so it's a bone itself is empty in the middle, so that's where the marrow is, and the strength is derived from the whole outer core of that femur bone, and it's closed in. At the joints, it's closed, and at the center, it's hollow, and the outside of the bone itself is solid, and that's very similar to the bamboo itself, because it has the same properties, and it's really amazingly strong. And one of the things I was thinking about how strong it is, and you don't see this very much in the Western world, but if you go to Asia, or let's just say if you went to Taiwan or Hong Kong, and you see people usually hanging out their laundry in the windows, and that's very common. If you're even riding on the subway or riding on the bus, you'll see that. And they hang their laundry actually via a bamboo stick. And you'll be amazed that these sticks are extremely, extremely light and very strong. And you wouldn't see the same thing happening if they hung something on a 2x4. It doesn't have the same strength. So the length and the tensile strength is extremely naturally strong. And that is why I'm very, very interested in the structural material, because when it's grown, it's already ready to be used in many different forms. Whereas in timber, like in oak and cedar and all that, it has to be very processed, unless, of course, you're doing a log cabin, but a log cabin is extremely different because if you didn't process the logs, it would sort of be like a log cabin where you stack these logs on each other, but they're very heavy. And in the log cabin, of course, the heat or the heat resistance or the insulation is derived from the heaviness or the thickness of the timber. And so that's a totally different type of structural material. But when you talk about the lightweightness and the tensile strength of bamboo, there is really nothing that really can compare. There is really almost, it is, there's just nothing that compares. And this is from nature, and I believe that God has given us this material in its very natural form for us to use, primarily in its natural state, that is, in its round state. And of course, we can use other ways to use the bamboo, process and flatten it out to become a bamboo flooring and many other composite materials. However, we have something that is literally growing in our backyards, and we don't use it, especially in the Western world. And I like to see us use this much, much more. And it's just something that is just waiting to be harvested. And if we just open our eyes and understand the material properties of it and its usages, we'd be so much better off from a sustainability standpoint. And so let's talk about how we can use bamboo. And I'm going to answer point by point some of the questions that people commonly have about bamboo and some of the arguments against or maybe just the questions about it. So the neat part about bamboo is that when we talk about the cutting and harvesting of bamboo, it really can be used for so many different things along the way. It can be. And within a period of about 5 years, we can use so many things with bamboo. In 30 days after it's grown, we can cut the bamboo and use it for bamboo sprouts. We can use it for food. Within 6 months to 1 year, we can use harvested bamboo to make baskets and woven goods. By the time it's 2 years old, the bamboo can be split and strips are woven to make many things. And from a period of 3 to 5 years, we have something suitable for building materials. And so within a period of 5 years, we can use so many things from the bamboo. So we can eat it and we can build from it. It's a really magnificent material. And we can't really say that necessarily for our timber cousins. We can't necessarily eat the wood. And so that is really amazing. And one of the things with the neat part about the structural part about the bamboo is that guadua is a very popular species for building, because the reason why is that there's no need to drill any holes. You can actually nail in into the guadua, and you can just build right there. So that's the really neat part about guadua. And so that is a little bit about how we harvest it and the length of time that's needed to harvest it. And so let me define what bamboo is. Bamboo is actually not a tree. And I know I've been comparing this alongside with timber. However, it's really not the same, although we're comparing it for uses. But I'm comparing it to timber, and it's actually, bamboo is not a tree. It's a giant grass, and it's known, its other nickname is known as vegetable steel. And one of the reasons why, as I was saying about that that clothesline that you can hang, that in the Southeast Asia, where you can hang clothes from the bamboo sticks, is that it is so strong and it grows naturally. And the properties of the bamboo is that it grows, some species can grow about 4 feet in 1 day. Isn't that so amazing? 4 feet in 1 day. You can basically watch it grow. And it reaches the full height in one growth spurt in about 2 months. One of the reasons why it does even take about 4 to 5 years to even stay there before it gets harvested for use for structural reasons is that it takes time for the bamboo to develop strength, even though it does spurt for about 2 months. And it's similar, and think about it this way. One thing that you may be familiar with is liriope grass, and it's very similar to grass on your lawn. What happens is that when you cut the bamboo or when you cut your grass, you're not killing any grass. You're just cutting it down, and then, of course, it grows again. And that's the same thing for bamboo. It's the same thing. So when you cut it, it'll grow again. And all of the liriope, I'm just using one example for grass, is that it's connected via the horizontal shoots underneath the ground. So that's the same thing with bamboo. It just grows horizontally underneath the soil. And that's how it's attached, just like liriope grass is. And so that's how it develops its strength, is via the underground root system, and it supports each other. So when you actually look at like a clump of bamboo and you look at a clump of grass, it's really one piece of grass in a lot of ways. It's not just in the, yes, you're seeing the individual blades of grass, and yes, you're seeing the individual bamboo shoots, but they're all connected underground. And it actually has a very similar analogy with all of us, because even though we look like we're separated and we are different people, we're actually connected and we're all similar. So it all has the same kind of spiritual and physical connotations involved in how bamboo relates to grass. Well, bamboo is a grass. It relates to the lawn on your grass. It relates to people. And so likewise with some grass and bamboo, which bamboo is a grass, it's harvested and the root system is unharmed and healthy and ready to produce more shoots, just like a grass lawn. And so that is the magnificent part of the bamboo. And so it grows one-third faster than the fastest-growing tree. And again, it can grow to more than 120 feet tall and have a 12-inch diameter. Now, the ones that we're familiar with, that we generally see in the North America or the temperate environment is probably ones that are about 3 to 4 inches in diameter. But isn't it amazing that in some tropical climates that it can grow to 12 inches in diameter? That's really fascinating because we think of, we just don't see it that way. And this offers us another way to see the possibilities of it. And of course, it's used for many different things and it's used pretty much all over the world. And I'll give you a little recap or summary of some of those things. It's used for structural support. It's used for rebar and concrete, paneling, floor tiles, furniture, bridges, scaffolding, water and soil conservation. And it's so important that it is used. Let me just highlight some of the things that we just talked about as far as the types of uses in it. Is that in scaffolding, I have seen it, and people do see it, and when they go to Hong Kong, and they say, well, this is just amazing that scaffolding can really, be around these buildings, and it is, even though we're not used to seeing that, but yes, the scaffolding can go very high, and you also see the bamboo used in soil conservation. Whenever there's any kind of erosion issues, you can use bamboo. So it really heals the land, and that's the neat part about it. It does heal the land. And so because of going back to how bamboo is harvested, where you cut the grass, there's really no need for any clear cutting at all. Similar, nothing like its cousins of timber, where you have to clear cut almost entire area, and it really impacts the surrounding the area. So I'll be back, and we'll talk more about the uses and how it doesn't need to be bamboo doesn't need to be clear cutted. And I am Emmy Louie. We'll talk more about this fascinating topic of bamboo, and I'll be back. I'm Emmy Louie, and we were talking about how the timber cousins of the different types of wood we were talking about, how it requires clear cutting, and what that does, that really impacts the land. It really does. And with bamboo, you cut it like a grass, and then it grows back again. So there's really a huge amount of difference between the harvesting of bamboo and the harvesting of timber. And those are some of the things that we really need to grapple with as we move towards a sustainable society. And then going, talking about some other places that use bamboo, let me give you some examples of certain places that that use bamboo, and they derive their industries, their economies, from bamboo. And for example, Taiwan alone uses 80,000 tons of bamboo shoots annually, a projected $50 million industry. Bamboo also provides the world's finest tissue and writing paper. It's benefited Asia, Africa, and South America. It's used for many things, including furniture, weapons, writing and musical instruments, for food, as well as medical products. So, again, we're talking about the quality of Zen bamboo, and that it grows very quickly. It's the bamboos can be used as a whole and by itself, and how it grows naturally. It can be halved. It can be split into different parts as slats and strips and boards, or it can be processed into different materials such as plyboo, like which is the bamboo's equivalent to plywood, and it can be prefabricated and it can be recycled. So there's really many ways we can use bamboo, and I'm here to tell you that to open your eyes and really just imagine the different industries that can be generated from the uses of this fascinating material. Again, it's the quickest growing plant in the world. It grows 30% more quickly than the fastest tree. And some varieties grow more than 1 meter a day. And bamboo canes are suitable for construction material after 5 years. Its yield is up to 25 times higher than that of timber. And bamboo planted on 1 hectare of ground offers annual yields of between 22 and 44 metric tons. And so the comparisons are really just amazing when you think about how bamboo can be used. Now to review about how we talked about how bamboo grows similar to grass, and let's review that. Is propagated via a root system called rhizomes, and it begins growing again immediately after harvesting. And the difference is that versus a forest after being felled, a forest requires intensive reforestation, And the bamboo is extremely hardy, and to use an example, and during the 1945 Hiroshima bomb, everything was wiped out except bamboo, stalks of bamboo. So the hardiness is really amazing. And you might be thinking, well, Emmy, yes, it is hardy. However, it's a pest. That's why it's so hardy. It becomes a pest. Now we got to understand that there's many, many species of bamboo. And let's talk about the botany part of bamboo. There's many species, and we can't confuse the ones that we see as a pest versus the ones that we can see for construction. And you have to distinguish those two. Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. The ones that, they're basically two types of grass categories for this bamboo. Okay, there's two types. And there are the runners, which spreads like a weed, and they spread exuberantly. And that could be probably the ones that you see in your backyard in the temperate climates. And then there are the clumpers. The clumpers are the ones that I'm primarily talking about in regards to the bamboo, where they basically clump together, and when they grow, they're really they're connected by one. They're connected by these rhizomes, and they're really almost like one plant. And the tropical bamboos tend to be clumpers, and the temperate bamboos tend to be runners. And so running bamboo spreads underground and pops up like a weed, and the clumping bamboo remains in the area and is planted. So what you're interested in and what I'm interested in regarding the uses of bamboo is really growing the clumpers. So you gotta understand that, because you can't throw away the baby with the bathwater and say, well, this thing is a weed. Of course, it's so hardy that I just don't want it out of my yard. So, and then one of the things with growing this kind of stuff is to make sure, that you grow it for, you have it hemmed in. That's one of the things too. It's kind of like growing your own garden, you know, and growing some tomatoes. It's like, well, for one thing, first of all, you have to use all your tomatoes, and you want to put a fence around it. So you want to give it a boundary. That's no different with growing bamboo. That's the same thing. So you, you're able to use it in a way that is, if you're consciously growing it, you want to be able to create a boundary around it as well as be able to use it for something. So those are the two main categories of bamboo. And so there's actually, we were talking about many varieties of bamboo. And it is the livelihood of about 1 billion people. It's used right now primarily in the rural areas, in the poor developing countries. And one of the things is that it doesn't necessarily just have to be used in the poor developing countries. There are places there that is used, for example, in Colombia amongst some rich people. And it's used in a very, very innovative way. So one of the things is that we got to get rid of the stigmatism of thinking that bamboo is really just for the third world countries. And so there's many ways that we can use the bamboo, and it has about 1,300 varieties of bamboo, close to 1,500 varieties. And so when we talk about these clumpers and all the different types of and the runners, all the different bamboos, there's really 1,500 different types of bamboo. So you really have to consider all of those different varieties. It's spread across 75 species. It covers about 25 million hectares in tropical and subtropical regions and 10% of temperate zones. It grows naturally in tropical world, extending to temperate climates. And so that is the really exciting part that, as for us, how we can use bamboo beyond just flooring. Now, right now. Okay. So, okay, we talked about, so let's recap a little. We talked about, how it's harvested, the qualities of the bamboo, the different species, and let's talk about, let's go over how it's used as far as fastening, because one of the issues that people ask me is that, well, if we use bamboo in its round form, how on earth will it possibly be used in lieu of a 2x4, because that is the general understanding of how we build with the material. And many of our things in our Western world is rectilinear, and then we've got something that's round. So how do we fit something round in a square box? And that's the perennial question that we have about bamboo. So I will answer that question. And we'll take a little break, and we'll be back. I'm Emmy Louie. You're listening to The Emmy Louie Show. I'm Emmy Louie, and we're talking about the structural uses of bamboo in its actual natural state. And one of the things that people have questions about is that how is this can be used and interfaced with 2x4 construction, because that's the current norm of 2x4 of the housing industry, and that it has to be able to interface well with existing materials. And the thing is that a lot of the things that we use is rectilinear. And so if we take its natural state of bamboo, which is round, how do we interface it? And that's a really good question. One of the things is that, let me use an analogy with the interfacing of something round into something that's rectilinear. A very common thing that's used, structurally, with a lot of, old, ancient buildings that have domes. It's called, the technical term is called a dome on pendentive. And what that is, and let's take, for example, like Hagia Sophia in Turkey, or like St. Paul's Cathedral in London, is that you've got something round, which is a dome, and then it's transferred, the structural components are transferred to something that's rectilinear, which are columns, to the floor. So in actuality, it's actually, it's pretty easy, as long as after you transfer the structural component, it goes to something rectilinear. And one example that people have asked me is that, well, how do you fasten these things? How do you fasten it? Because it's really in the joinery system that makes it extremely workable, or extremely not workable, if that's, for that matter. And let me use an example of one fastening method that is used, and we use that all the time, is actually when we have a Christmas tree. The way you do it is, because every bamboo is different, it has a slightly different diameter because it's not totally uniform in its width and diameter, is that you create a system where you have like a boot that it goes into, the bamboo, the ends of it goes into a boot, and then you basically adjust the screws and screw it on. It's very similar to how you put put up a Christmas tree, because the end of the Christmas tree, the base of it is circular, and you're standing something up. And you basically, there's three screws that go in that secure the Christmas tree. So there's really no difference in how you would stand a Christmas tree versus how you would stand a round bamboo cane that's about 3 inches to 12 inches in diameter. It has the same concept. And then, of course, there's different variabilities in how you would fasten the bamboo. The quote-unquote primitive method, of course, is by lashing and using different materials to lash. And then the more, if you go the other end, the modern technique is to basically bury the boot in some metal fitting, and to bury it in concrete. No different than how you would bury a round metal column, really, in concrete, into a foundation, concrete foundation. So those are the possibilities of how we could use regular natural bamboo in as a structural element. Of course, now that we're talking about the fastening part, the next question, of course, is, well, is it going to burn up? You know, is it going to burn down? What are the flammability issues about it? And if you go to Kyoto, which I haven't had the pleasure of visiting just yet, is that many of the 16th century bamboo buildings have been treated by actually the smoking of bamboo. And basically, the smoking, when people cook, there's a smoke that arises, and the smoking actually protects the bamboo from flammability. That is one way to treat bamboo, and there's two ways that I know of, at least that I have read. Another way is actually to soak it in a solution of boric acid. And then another way that I've read is that you bury it in sand to treat the bamboo. So it basically is pretty much fire resistant, and the bamboo will actually put out a fire versus feed the fire. So, of course, the smoking, going back to the smoking, it reduces the flammability of bamboo cane. And so those are some of the ways that we would treat the bamboo. And now let's talk about a little about what's really amazing is that I'm really excited is that what we think of is in, I've heard that what is impossible first becomes impossible, and then it becomes improbable, and then later it's inevitable. And I believe that with any kind of new technology or an idea, and that's how it is we think that, well, it's not going to happen, and then you realize, well, it's inevitable that's going to happen. I believe that that's going to happen with this particular material. And these have huge impacts with how we're living as far as creating a sustainable society for ourselves. And this is a quote from, I'm going to talk about sustainability issues and just look at a broad picture on how these things fit in and why bamboo is such an answer to our current way of using timber. And in the book by Jared Diamond, the book entitled Collapse, is that he talks about the problems with existing timber forests. And I applaud the forestries where they do have the sustainable processes where, you know, there is the kind of, they're practicing the sustainable forestry methods. And however, that is still, has to be monitored a lot. And so let's talk about how the forces are being used now in the, around the world. More than, this is a statistics in the book, it says more than half of the world's original forests have been cut down or heavily damaged in the last 8,000 years. Yet our consumption of forest products is accelerating, with the result that more than half of those losses have occurred within the last 50 years. One of the biggest reasons why is that our world consumption of paper has increased fivefold. So you really got to think about how we are consuming, and that are we meeting the needs of our consumption? Either we consume less, or as a world, we continue to consume the same, and we have different alternatives, or we have a different method to replenish the consumption, or we consume more. So there's really different scenarios. And if, and it's nice to think that, well, this is how we want to behave, but in actuality, how are we actually behaving, and how are we meeting those needs? And we all have to think about these things. And more of us who are enlightened about our consumption habits are really kind of tuning in to how we're operating in this world and what the bigger picture means, because we do need to share this planet with 7 or 8 billion of the rest of us. So one of the things is that, you know, why we just got to be shown the way. We got to just think of just different ways that we can apply different situations. And a lot of times it's really just easy things that is really in our backyard. And unfortunately, we tend to just go back to something that we're similar with, we're familiar with, and then we solve that problem with the familiarity of that paradigm. And in point of fact, of how Einstein says, Albert Einstein says, you got to go outside of your paradigm and really think outside of the box and think about the possible solutions. And that's what I invite you to do with how bamboo can be used throughout the world. Also, there's another reason why we feel like maybe we don't feel like we want to change necessarily is that we spend so much energy in using timber that we feel like we have all these policies to use the timber and that we have invested so much money that why would we want to change? And that, unfortunately, can lead to the downfall of civilizations, such as places like Easter Island, a lot of the Mayan civilizations, is when we refuse to change, we disintegrate as a society. So those are some of the things to think about when we are at a crossroads where we have to really rethink our society. And also, we have the third reason why maybe we are reluctant to see this change is that we have actually some values where we cling on to certain conditions where those values basically don't make any much more sense anymore. And so what I was saying about the value about one of the values is that, bamboo's used for people in poor countries, or maybe it's relegated to Southeast Asia or Asia. And that is a value that is not serving our purposes anymore, and that we have to embrace our use of bamboo, especially in the Western world, that doesn't hold any water anymore. And so those are the three reasons why we don't make these changes. And let me review that again. And it all comes down to the psychology. Number one, the reason why we don't make changes is that we draw on familiar analogies with old situations. Number two, we feel reluctant to abandon a policy in which we already have invested heavily. And number three, there are admirable values which we cling under, conditions whose values no longer make sense for us. And so, looking at the bigger picture of sustainability is that in the 1992 Earth Summit held in Rio de Janeiro, sustainable development really is development that meets the needs of current generations without undermining the ability of future generations to meet their needs. And at that time, Marie Strong, the Secretary General at the Rio UN Conference, said development and environment are inextricably linked and must be nourished by a change in the means, the contents, and the use of growth. And the problems that we have with unsustainable societies is that we have a misuse of non-renewable resources, we have high rates of energy consumption, we have polluting emissions and industrial waste, which is too toxic and not recyclable. And so the indifference to the consequences of modernity, whatever the cost, is basically a civic and professional irresponsibility. And so I challenge all of you to step up to the plate and really think about how we need to take professional responsibility for our actions, the things that we specify, what we buy, and all that. Of course, I don't say that it's easy at all in the beginning, but you just never know. One of these days, people do this even now with organic food, is basically, or even food that has no preservatives. Before, you would never think, maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you wouldn't think that people would have a demand these kind of things. But nowadays, people demand that the food that they eat is healthy and organic and that it has no preservatives and all that. So one of these days, I am going to wish that many people, resounding majority of people, will buy timber from a sustainably harvested forest, as well as buy bamboo for their structural materials. That is one of the things that I am hoping for, and that there is transparency in how we construction materials, the transparencies down to the different manufacturers and the suppliers, and that this was grown and harvested in a sustainable way. Unfortunately, right now, there's just so many components to the, you know, by the time you get a piece of material, you really don't know where it's coming from. Or because it's exchanged hands so many times, you don't know if it's harvested in a certain way. You know, you don't know if how the economic situation, political situation was where it harvested. So it changes hands so much. It's similar to like the mafia where you just don't, you can't trace it. And I look forward to the day where we're able to trace the accountability of these materials and to trace the fact that it is sustainable. And so let me summarize to you what we talked about during this last 55 minutes about bamboo, and that it is a giant grass. It's one of the keys to promoting the principle of sustainable development. It organic stem grows up to 15 meters during the first year, and that it has a really amazing growth qualities. It's one of the fastest growing plants in the world. And the way it's harvested, it can be used so many different ways for food as well as construction material, for furniture, for all different types of materials. There's two different types of species, two different types of bamboo, and there's different structure components we can use for it. There's different ways to treat the bamboo, and there's different ways that we can fasten the bamboo to use it to interface with other construction materials. And so I'm really very optimistic that we are able to embrace this material in our current first world situation. And I hope that you understand a little more about what the properties are about bamboo, and let's forge ahead and just create a more sustainable society with this type of information. I am Emmy Louie, Feng Shui Architect, and I look forward to talking with you next time.